Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget all the other things you can do there. It's a little bit of small business heaven at jbsba.com. That's the short URL. If you'd like to type, I've got a long one for you, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And as well as just my name. If you forget all those other things, you can remember Jim Blasingame, put a .com on the end of that, and then you can get to my website. We were planning on having Ted Fishman on the show today. I'm not sure why we're not be able to get in touch with him. We're having some kind of technical glitch, but anyway, we're working on that, and maybe we'll have him on in a minute. But I do want to talk a little bit about China. I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that I know about how China is affecting you and me. You know, first I want to go back and talk a little bit about Japan. I think it's important to compare our experiences with Japan and our experiences with China, and how they're similar in some ways and how they're different. You know, there was a time when made in Japan meant cheap and inexpensive and poor quality, right? Well, that was a nice trip down memory lane, wasn't it? Because now we have the Lexus automobile, and we have Sony and Mitsubishi and et cetera, et cetera. These are all products that we know are high quality. And of course, the paradigm shift from Japan being poor quality to high quality and being a major competitor in the marketplace, that happened a long time ago. But there's something... But Japan, the way that they develop their industry, the way they develop their marketplace, and the way they approach their business practices, apparently, you know, even though Japan is the number two economy in the world, as little as that place is over there, it's still they still haven't, in my opinion, they haven't been able to capitalize on what they had, because as you know, for the last 15 years. Japan has basically been in a depression. Well, actually, a recession, but it probably you can't call it a depression, but it's been in a recession. Their economy has been in bad shape, and they came out of it a couple of years ago. Now they've gone right back into a recession. So, but China is going to be different. It's going to be similar in that I think that we're already seeing the old paradigm of made in China not being very good to made in China being very good. We're going to be buying products, according to Ted Fishman's book, and I agree with him, we're going to be buying products from China that are going to, and that already are, rivaling the quality of other world powers, other world economic powers, other manufacturing countries like Europe and like the United States and like Japan. In fact, a lot of the electronics that you and I used to buy from China, from Japan, and because they weren't even made in the United States anymore, are now being made in China, and they're high quality. And so China is really emerging the way Japan did, say, what, 30 years ago. I think we can go back, actually, probably closer to 35 years ago. Thanks in large part to Edward Deming, the father of quality that you've heard us talk about on the show before. But thanks to his going over there after World War II and getting Japan's getting their manufacturing operations into good condition with regard to quality. But China is going to be different from Japan because of the sheer numbers of people. In Ted Fishman's book, he talks about the number of cities that have over 1 million people. And the United States has 9 cities with a population of 1 million people or more. Western and Eastern Europe have a combined number of total of 36 cities with 1 million population. China has between 100 and 160 cities with that many people. And of course, we know they have over a billion people. But here's the other thing that we're learning about the Chinese. They're very entrepreneurial. Now, the Japanese have a strong work ethic, like Americans do. The Chinese do, too. But the difference between the Chinese and the Japanese, and this is why Japan hasn't been able to really capitalize on, in my opinion, on what they've accomplished over the last 35 years, is that they are not entrepreneurial. The culture is not entrepreneurial. The business, the business structure in Japan is not entrepreneurial. China, very entrepreneurial. We're going to talk about this some more right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and looks like Ted Fishman is not going to be on the show today. But you know what? We're going to continue to march because I want to talk to you about China myself, and because I think this is an important topic that we all need to be paying attention to. Let me tell you a little story about how competitive China is becoming, and how insidious it is. And how we just need to pay attention. It's one of those things that we're not going to be able to do anything about. All we can do is recognize it and deal with it successfully. And that can be done. But I will tell you, as China emerges, there will be winners and losers. And let me tell you this little story that I learned about 2 years ago. I was moderating a panel for the U.S. Trade Representative in Washington. He asked me to come up and moderate a panel of about 75. The audience was about 75 people from the South African Commercial Union. Now, this is the world's oldest commercial union, and it's made up of the five Southern African countries: South Africa, Namibia, and Swaziland. I've forgotten all five of them. Three big ones and two little ones. Anyway, they were about 75 folks who were very much interested in entrepreneurship and how to build small businesses in their country, and how to get those businesses to grow, and how to help them grow and to become get a little more out of their villages, so to speak. Well, here's the story they told us. There's a fabric, a garment that ladies from that part of the world like to wear. Very colorful, I'm sure. You know the kind that I'm talking about. Very colorful, sort of a wrap that women wear. Anyway, there's one particular kind that's really indigenous to that area. And the women, the African women who live in Europe, were wearing those because it tied them to their homeland. It gave them a sense of connecting to their roots, so to speak. And so they were buying them to wear as they lived in Europe, thinking that the ones they were buying were made in their country because in the Southern African area, because this is where they're made. Well, turns out many of them were buying this garment that had been made in China. Now, you think about that. If the Chinese will take something that's, I'm not going to say that that's an esoteric example, but this is not a huge sector of the marketplace. This is not like jumbo jets, right? This is not like televisions or electronics. If they'll take something that's that sort of obscure and knock it off and be competitive and actually, you know, basically get the business, then we now know that told me, I should say, that there wasn't any little corner, any little facet, any little niche of the marketplace that the Chinese aren't prepared to go into and to compete with us. Now, I want to come back to something. Some of you probably are starting to get a little irritated by the examples that you're hearing about China. You may be that what I just the story I just told you may be irritating you. You may be thinking, well, this is all because of globalization, and we shouldn't have this. Somebody should do something about this. Maybe the government should do something about this. We shouldn't have started with NAFTA, and we shouldn't have CAFTA, and we shouldn't have the World Trade Organization, and all that. Well, folks, I'm going to go back to my globalization speech, and I'm going to remind you that whether you like it or not, globalization is not new. It's old. It's very old. It's as old as the first trade that was done between two villages. The only difference between what's going on today and what was going on 10,000 years ago or 50,000 years ago, whenever Og first traded with Gog over in the next valley, and since the Venetians traded with the Egyptians and the Philistines traded with the Israelites, it's been going on. The only difference between all that and now is the tools that we use to transfer the goods, the information, and the currency, and the exchange of the currency, the tools and the speed, and now the ability to transport labor quickly and efficiently. And that's the only difference. All those things that we're trading with, all those things that we're trading now, essentially we've been doing it for millennia. But now the speed has increased. And now we're exporting labor much more efficiently, much more effectively than ever before. And that was one of the main things that's one of the main things that's caused these changes to speed up so much, to move so rapidly. And that's what's so frightening. And we're not going to stop this. And the reason is because globalization, and you've heard me say this before, but I really believe this. Globalization is the trade manifestation of our intellectual property journey. We've been developing intellectual property since the first two brain cells bumped together to make a memory. We've been on an intellectual property journey. It got heated up and moved very fast when Gutenberg invented the Bible. I should say invented the press, and he printed the first Bible on that press, movable type in the printing press. Since then, it's been moving very fast. And now in the 21st century, it's moving at light speed. We're going to talk about this some more right after these messages. Tintil, I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. We're going to get Ted Fishman on the show another day. By the way, folks, in case you're wondering how this works, if you're not interested, you don't have to listen to this. But we have two different ways, primary ways that we get people on the show. One is these people who call us directly, or we call them directly. And the other way is that there are people who have books that they're selling, books that are out, and we work with a lot of PR firms, and they contact us, and if we think it is something that's important that our audience wouldn't be interested in, we book them on the show, and so we work through that. And that happens a couple of times a week probably. Well, sometimes, very rarely, but occasionally, they book, you know, these people do maybe 20 interviews a day in these tours. And once or twice a week we plug into one of those tours. But in this particular case, apparently they didn't have their schedule squared away. And so that's what happened to Ted Fishman. We're going to get him back on the show. I want to get back into China, because now I want to talk about you and me. I want to talk about what we have to do to be ready for this. You know, China is only about 1/6 the size of the U.S. economy. The Chinese economy is very, very relatively speaking, it's under $2 billion. I'm sorry, under $2 trillion. Something like I think maybe $1.6 trillion. The U.S. economy is over $10 trillion, almost $11 trillion. So we're six times at least their economy, but their economy is growing at 9% a year and has been for a number of years. Compare that with ours. Last year we had 4.4% growth a year. In last year, that was a little too hot. This year it's probably going to be under 4. Europe is less than 2% for the last several years now. Japan, they're in a recession. Remember that? They're negative growth. So that just compare China's growth at 9% to the rest of the world. And if that holds up, you can see where they're going to be the largest economy, some say in 20 years. Maybe it may take 40 years, but in the next generation or so, they will be the largest economy. Now, the bad news is they're going to continue to compete on a lot of levels. The good news is that's one point however many billion people they have who are consumers. So what we got to do is we got to make things that they want and sell to them. And earlier in the show, I talked about the winners and the losers. China is going to create winners and losers, just like America created winners and losers in Europe. When the colonies developed and when the textile jobs came from England to New England in the early 19th century, don't you think there were some winners and losers in England? Yes, there were. Same things happening right now with China. Same things happening with India. Same things happening with other parts of the world. And so what we have to do is make sure that we are one of the winners and not one of the losers. And remember what Rita McGrath said in the last visit, the previous interview? She said, we've got to get our antenna up. We got to make sure our antenna is up and out all the time, picking up on these signals. Remember we talked about how fast we have to move. We talked about how that it's important that you not fall in love with anything that you're doing. It's okay to fall in like with it, but don't fall in love with it because you may have to jettison it and move in another direction. And you can't just be okay with change. You have to embrace change, and you have to manage and lead change. How many of our Brain Trust members have told us that? Peter Meyer, for example, and others have told us that. We have to embrace change, and we have to lead change in our organizations. That's what China is saying to me right now. I'm not really concerned about the different things that they're making, the different ways that they're competing with us. What I believe is that they're a force, an economic force, to be reckoned with in the next generation or two. And it was not unlike the force that America was for the rest of the world over the last 200 years. It's the new world in terms of the economy, China. And we can be one of the winners or we can be one of the losers. And the choice is ours. And it's not up to China. It's up to us. I got to go for this hour. But when I come back in the next hour, I'm going to be interviewing Colleen Rickenbacker. We're going to talk about some etiquette, some business etiquette. And then we're going to talk about to Patricia Green. We're going to talk about women's entrepreneurship around the world. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.